everyone, and thank you for joining us.
This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast, Episode 7.
This is Andrew.
And this is Douglas.
Unfortunately, it seems like Damien couldn't join us today. I don't know what his excuse will be on Monday when I see him, but, you know, we love him anyways.
But we really hate him.
Today we'll be discussing our Oscar picks. We'll be going through news trailers, and then we'll be reviewing the newest movie out here, Push.
Yes. And maybe I should apologize in advance. Maybe my voice sounds a little bit weird, but I'm actually just getting over a cold. So I hope that you can bear with me
tonight. Yeah, I hope so too, because you suck.
Okay, yeah. And by the way, before the show is over, I am going to infect you.
Please don't. Like, we were watching Push, and like halfway through the movie, I heard people coughing and sneezing all over the fucking place.
My fault.
And I totally said to myself, you infected every last one of them in the theater. I'm glad I left out alive.
I made sure to cough, you know, in a 360-degree motion, so it would work out that I spread it evenly over the crowd, and everybody got sick.
Oh, crazy. Oh. Okay, so Oscars. Next week, Sunday, February 22nd, will be the Academy Awards, and I'm a huge awards fan. I love the awards season. I mean, people like to complain about it. People like to complain about the awards, you know, stuff they didn't nominate, stuff that won't win because it's not award material, like as if it doesn't deal with the Holocaust and all sorts of things. But generally, I love them, right? I love watching the awards movies. I mean, I just finished watching two other films, which I'm going to have to talk about tonight. I love all of them. Like, I mean, there are a few things in here which you'd go like, yeah, something could have been put in extra, but wow, it actually was a good year for movies. I mean, people complained The Dark Knight wasn't nominated for anything other than a couple technical stuff and Heath Ledger, and therefore people won't watch it, but I don't give a damn. I don't think if it was nominated, it had a chance of winning anyways, just because it's the Oscars.
Quite right. No, you're true. The Oscars kind of has this snobby view of movies, I've noticed. So if it's not, you know, a proper film, as opposed to some sort of, you know, cartoon / comic type thing, it's not really. Ah, and Kate Winslet's breasts are involved, so there we go.
Yes, that's for you, never fear. Okay. All right. What we're going to do, right, is we're just going to go down the list. I'll name the award. I'll name out the nominees.
Okay.
And if we have nothing to say, we'll just say we haven't seen anything and we have nothing to say, or we'll name what we want and go through and give our reasons.
So I have my pad here where I carefully, for the last month or however long it was,
mapped out. You mean the last 5 minutes?
Oh, shut up. So, yes, I've got my picks in front of me. Let's go, Andrew. Let's go.
All right. First award, like, I usually like to leave the shitty awards that no one cares about first.
Uh-huh.
Right? First one I'm going to look at is Achievement in Makeup.
Makeup!
And nominated for this is The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. There's Greg Canham. The Dark Knight is John Caglione Jr. and Connor O'Sullivan, and Hellboy 2, The Golden Army with Mike Elizalde and whatever, Tom Flouts. I think I'm going to stop calling people's names unless there are things you'd know. But yeah, those are the things. Benjamin Button, Dark Knight, and Hellboy 2.
Can I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, I'm going to say what I know you're going to say, and you're going to tell me that it is Hellboy 2, and I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. Shut the fuck up. The person who's going to win for this is Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I think the makeup that they did here was so subtle. The subtleness of the makeup is going to push it over that hurdle, as opposed to, you know, that big red guy with the huge hand and all of that foolishness. So I think Ben Button will win the makeup.
Well, I have to say no. You were right. I think Hellboy 2 should win it. I think Ben Button will win it because it's more of an Oscars film.
Oh, true that.
But Hellboy 2, like, I loved all the costuming, all the makeup, everything worked well in that movie when it came to, like, creating the scene. And I love it. Like, The Dark Knight, I mean, other than Heath Ledger, what else is there for makeup? Curious Case of Benjamin Button, you had the old man, but most of the work that was done in there was CGI anyways. So it was hard to tell what came from makeup work more than CGI. But Hellboy 2, so many different characters, so many different creations. Guillermo del Toro, keep making movies like this, please.
No, please don't. It was an awful movie. Don't ever watch that movie. If whoever's listening, don't watch a movie. It's bad.
All right. Moving on. All right. Next one is achievement in film editing.
Film editing. Where did I put that one?
There's The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Dark Knight, Frost Nixon, Milk, and Slumdog Millionaire, all nominated for film editing. And I'm just going to throw this one out here. Slumdog. Right?
wait. Go over it one more time, by the way. Film editing was...
Film editing. The nominees for film editing are The Curious Case of Benjamin Button,
uh-huh.
The Dark Knight,
uh-huh.
Frost Nixon,
uh-huh.
Milk,
uh-huh.
and Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay.
My pick for this has to be Slumdog Millionaire. When someone asks me, how do you decide on, like, what has the best film editing? For all these little technical things, they always have trouble, because most people going to movies, they really only pay attention to the stories, a couple of visual stuff, the acting, things like that, right? I mean, but when you get down to the real technical things...
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
What for film editing, I think... The easiest way to be able to say something has good editing is to ask yourself, how well understood was the movie? Like, at any point were you lost? And if you were, what was the reason for you being lost? Like, is it because of the writing, or is it because of something that the director just decided to cut away from? And that's when editing comes in. And, I mean, we love The Dark Knight, but you kind of have to agree, Christopher Nolan does have issues with cutting action scenes.
What?
Those action scenes were a bit hard to understand at times if you watch it properly. But Slumdog was perfectly understood throughout. So I'm going to have to give it to Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay, so here's the deal with this one. When I looked at this award, I couldn't choose who I wanted to win. So I decided I would go the opposite route. I would choose who I did not want to win. So first... I'm going to say The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Really, I didn't like this movie that much. And the editing, I didn't think was spectacular. So, for now, I'm going to say, maybe. And then we look at The Dark Knight. I'll talk about that one later. Frost Nixon, I did not like the editing in this one. It was fantastic in some of the scenes. For example, that whole boxing scene. We talked about this already. And the interview and... Sometimes when he was, you know, off jet setting, that was great editing. But I did not like, and I guess I'm kind of lumped in with most of the people that I've heard talk about this movie. But I did not like when they took you out of the story and then put you into this whole documentary mode, because it kind of jarred you a bit too much. So for that reason, I will not take this movie. Milk, I loved it. But again, I don't think the editing was spectacular. It was something to be like, whoa. That movie was really well edited. And Slumdog Millionaire, unfortunately, because of, you know, certain situations, I was unable to watch before today. So I cannot, in my right mind, give this movie the nod. So I will go with The Dark Knight. After you have bashed it completely, but I will go with The Dark Knight. So now, I guess, on to the next one.
No, yeah, you're completely wrong. Alright, the next nomination... I mean, the next, like, category is Achievement in Costume Design. Right? First comes Australia, then The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, then The Duchess, then Milk, then Revolutionary Road. What'd you say?
Me? This is a big question mark for me. I'm not sure. So, let's look at the... nominees. We've got Australia. I don't think they would win. Curious Case, possibly. The Duchess, also possible, because I haven't watched the movie, but it's a period piece. It's got all these fanciful lace and bustiers and all of that kind of crap in there. Milk, actually, that might win, because the costume design would be really subtle in that one, and hard to catch. And then Revolutionary Road, haven't quite gotten around to watching that one either. But from the trailer, the costumes look great. Right? And trailers are, you know, fine to your things off of.
I have to say, Revolutionary Road is an awesome movie. But, like, All right, you haven't seen Revolutionary Road or The Duchess, right?
Okay, right. Have not.
Out of the three that you have seen, what would you say?
Oh, definitely Milk. Definitely Milk. I love, you know, that little sweater that he has on. And you know the one I'm talking about, the brown sweater.
Yeah.
Okay, I love it.
All right.
So I think I have on my pad here Duchess with a question mark, just because those costumes would be over the top. But you know what? I think I'm gonna go with Milk because subtle always takes it. So all right. Milk it is.
Just like I said about film editing, like the thing about costume design is, of course, I always believe that period pieces or pieces or movies that are set in times that are not now, right? I mean, it's easy for you to film a movie and just have the guy run into a Gap store and pick up 5 jeans and 2 t-shirts, and that's your costume design for a movie that's set today. But generally, any movie that's set way back when is always something that you can do costume design for. It's always the movies that make you feel like you're back in that time. And the only movie on this list I haven't seen is The Duchess. But I spoke to my friend Jess, who, can I just say, it's her birthday today. So
happy birthday!
Yeah, if she ever does listen to this episode, today is February 14th. Happy birthday, Jess. She actually graduated with a theater degree, and she's a makeup costume person.
Oh, yeah, she worked on anything.
No,
that
she hasn't
been lately.
No, it's she's really just doing local theater stuff now.
Oh, local, by local you mean
where she is?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So where is local?
Well, she did some stuff in Iowa, but she's now in Texas, and she's apparently looking for a job there, like a theater job. She's currently working at a bar.
Okay, Texas people, hire this lady. I don't know her. I've never seen her, but you must hire her.
She's up for a job already. Like she got interviewed by some theater person in Texas, and she says they called her back, and it looks like she's going to get the job.
Sweet.
So, awesome. Hope you're doing good, and happy birthday, Jess. But she told me that the only good thing about The Duchess was the costumes and the stuff. And she tends to like those kinds of things.
But what about your lady, Keira Knightley? Wouldn't she be great?
You mean the washboard?
With a face.
With a face. Yeah. But out of the ones I've seen, the one I enjoyed most and definitely got me like into the film just because of the look of it has to be Milk. Right, I mean, the rest of them were all, I think Australia doesn't have a chance. Curious Case and Revolutionary Road are definitely contenders, but Milk, the look of it, just astounded me. I love how even seeing them in suits seemed different than today.
Yeah.
Right, you know, it was amazing. I hope this movie wins costume design, and if and only if my runner-up has to be Revolutionary Road, because that's another one just like it in the, even though Revolutionary Road is in the 50s or 60s, I think, and Milk is 70s.
Milk is like, yeah, around, I think so. The 70s.
Yeah. So. All right. Next. What's the word? Category.
You really don't like that word, do you?
I don't like that word. I have to find a new word for category. Like next section.
What's about type?
Type.
Or
achievement
type.
In sound editing, right?
So
The nominees are The Dark Knight, Iron Man, Slumdog Millionaire, WALL-E, and Wanted.
Can I go first?
You go first.
Okay. Now, I will tell you exactly why I picked, who I picked for this. First of all, I'm going to say I love the movie. Second of all, the reason I picked this person was because if you look at sound editing and sound mixing, all of the nominees are the same but for one. In sound editing, the odd man out is Iron Man, and in sound mixing, who is the odd man out? Remind me.
Sound mixing is... Wait, where is it? Curious Case.
Curious Case. So, the only reason I'm choosing this person is because he is not in sound mixing. And so I choose Iron Man.
All right, hold on. I have to stop right here for a second. Miles is in the chat room.
Yeah.
He's from Australia, apparently.
That
right?
He is, yes.
And, you remember the film spotting bit?
Yes.
About us when they reviewed Australia and their friend from Melbourne called in and told them about how rubbishy Australia was. Well, I kind of liked Australia. And I just wanted to let that out there.
I didn't
actually liked it enough to put it as an honorable mention on my top 10 at the end of last year.
Oh, I don't know if I liked it that much.
I gave it a 9 out of 10. I love that movie.
Jeez, Andrew, come on.
Anyways, back on top.
I'm a Baz Luhrmann fan, but there's, you know, there is a point to which I stop.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about sound editing, and I said Iron Man will win this. And what do you say?
I say you're wrong, right? I have to big up my movie of the year, WALL-E, right?
God damn it, Andrew. Okay, listen. Just to let you know, all of you viewers out there, Andrew will pick WALL-E for any any category it is nominated for.
You know,
okay? So if it was nominated for Best Documentary, he would pick WALL-E.
I think it is a documentary. It's a documentary about hope. If we continue on the way life is going, we will have to go into space and then robots will save us from our own...
Yeah, and you're saying to me also that WALL-E is the best actor.
And yes, Never Fair, okay. I would nominate him for best actor. What's his name? Ben Burtz? That's the guy who did WALL-E?
whatever. The man who said one word. Okay.
So, WALL-E. We complain about the script. We complain about the story. We complain about all sorts of things. But one thing you have to say this movie did right was sound. WALL-E. Every sound in the movie fit it properly. It was the correct sounds you need, which is why I have it for sound mixing as well. Right? Because I generally think that sound editing and sound mixing should really be one award. And if you look back, I think most years they hand it to the same movie.
Okay.
So I'm just giving away my sound mixing now. It's WALL-E. It's an awesome movie, and just like I've seriously just pressed play and looked away and closed my eyes and listened to the movie.
Whatever you say. There you go. Miles gives us a nice little tidbit saying that Transformers or Bourne got
it
last
was Transformers.
Year.
Okay, I think
for both of them.
For both of them.
Damn, I thought he was saying that both of them got.
No,
one
he
for
was
one.
Saying it was one or the other.
Ah, damn it.
All right. Achievements in sound mixing. There's Wanted, WALL-E, Slumdog Millionaire, The Dark Knight, and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I've already said WALL-E. What do you say?
Why not? Go for broke. The Dark Knight.
All right, so I'll say anything with WALL-E wins, and you'll say anything with The Dark Knight wins.
No, not true. There is actually one extremely large nomination that I've gone against The Dark Knight in.
I can guess it, but I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to wait for the moment. Right? All right, so moving on. Right? Achievements in visual effects. There's Iron Man. There's The Dark Knight. And there's The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Now, I know what I have.
Okay.
But I'm 50-50 as to what you took, because I know you love Iron Man, and I'm thinking about it, and let me hear, what do you have first?
I love Iron Man because it's an awesome movie, and the visual effects in it are pretty great. The Dark Knight, the visual effects are nice too. However, do you know who I picked? I picked the movie that I did not like this year, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Because
yeah, I definitely have that one too. I love the visuals.
The visual effects were amazing, not because, you know, it was in-your-face CG all the time, but because whenever you saw the movie, you didn't realize that it was, you know, not real. You looked at the movie, and whenever you saw it, you're like, yeah, this is actually happening. This 2-foot, 5-year-old he actually does look like he's 100 years old. You know, this boat is actually in war in the middle of the sea, and it doesn't look unreal. So I like that. I'm all for the subtle type effects. I know it's not subtle in a sense, but it's much less subtle than Iron Man and Batman. So I go for Ben Button.
Yeah, I mean, what you have to understand, right, is for this movie, they captured Brad Pitt's face. They aged it. They then filmed an old man and put that aged face on the old man. So putting that into perspective, in comparison to they created a digital suit for Iron Man to fly around in.
Yeah.
Or in The Dark Knight, they had a truck flip over.
Actually, no. You know what, though? I have to give Iron Man credit. If you look on the DVD extra features, those guys were amazing with the flight. You know that test video when they said, you know what? forget this, we're not picking up by his waist because everybody's going to know that it's strings. We're going to pick him up by his shoes. And it looked amazing. It looked like he was being propelled by his propelling thingies on his feet. So, the thing is, it's a technical term, okay? So I thought that was amazing. However, it still pales in comparison with what they did in Ben Button in my humble consideration.
Oh, yeah, and Never Fair is reminding me that the truck flipping was real, so I just, like, totally screwed myself.
Well, if you read the category, it doesn't say computer effects.
It says visual effects.
And those things started out of, like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, but even a real alien. Yeah, and even Raiders in the Lost Ark, where, you know, you have all of these stop-motion things where, in the end, everybody melts into goo. It doesn't have to be CG. It's a visual effect. So the truck is
an effect.
It's an effect.
And it's visual.
And it's visual. Therefore, it's a visual effect.
So yeah, I'm still good. Thank you. Thank you. You saved me. I thought I was caught. I believe that Brad Pitt's 40 now, right? Like 40-ish.
He's pushing there. I don't think he's actually got to 40 yet. But it's possible. You never know.
I believe in another 30 years, we'll be watching Curious Case and putting up a picture of Brad Pitt on the side and saying, what's the difference? Brad Pitt will now watch Curious Case every day in fear of looking that old. That's exactly how he's going to look. That's how I felt. Anyways, moving on, right? Achievement in music written for Motion Picture, the original song, right? Now, hold on. Before I announce the nominees, like, everyone's complaining that Bruce Springsteen's The Wrestler song wasn't nominated.
I don't think everyone's complaining. I think you're complaining.
No. Everyone is complaining, right?
You love that song.
I love that
much.
Song. But at the same time, I still would have given what I gave for the winner if it was nominated, just like for the Golden Globes.
Oh, okay.
All right. Have you heard the Wrestler song?
No, I have. Well, actually, no. I did listen to it once. I don't think I heard the whole thing. But you know me. I'm not a huge Boss fan, so it wouldn't really move me unless it was, boom, amazing.
I've listened to a good amount of Bruce Springsteen, and I think I would like him if I actually took the time to sit down and listen to enough of his albums.
Oh, no. He's had a great run, and some of his songs are actually good, and I do like some. I'm just not, you know, the hugest fan.
Okay. All right. The nominees, right, is Osiah for Slumdog Millionaire by A.R. Rahman and Maya... I can't pronounce your last name.
Rahman is awesome, by the way. I've heard some of his
stuff. Heard him? I didn't know of him before.
Well,
this movie.
You see, that's what happens when you've got an Indian roommate in college.
Oh, okay. Jai Ho, another song from Slumdog Millionaire by Rahman as well. And my pick for the win, Down to Earth by Peter Gabriel for WALL-E. I'm sorry, ever since remember when we went to the movie, I wanted to sit down and listen to the credits because they were playing that song. It was so awesome. And I'm so sad that they announced that Peter Gabriel won't be performing it at the Oscars. He, like, turned down the opportunity. I don't remember
what happened. It's not that he turned down the opportunity. He was all set to go, and then they told him that he could only sing that song for about 60 or 65 seconds. And Peter Gabriel said that it was not long enough to give the proper, like, spirit of the song or whatever. So he decided not to pull out. He decided that he will not sing it because they wouldn't give him enough time.
Oh, okay, good. I love that song. Anyways, okay. What you got?
Well, here I am stuck in between a rock and a hard place. I know, beyond a doubt, that one of the two songs from Slumdog Millionaire is going to win. More than likely. Or should win. I should say it that way. Should win. I also know that I have not listened to either of them. So I don't know which one to tell you is better. So.
And you like Rahman.
And exactly. Right? And I like this dude. So here's my... That's my problem. Here's my solution. I'm going to pick the only song I have heard. And it's flipping WALL-E. I hate you,
but you have to admit that's a good song.
It's okay.
It's
Peter Gabriel is kind of cool. But come on. I'm only picking this because I don't know what else to pick. I'm sorry, people.
Alright, moving on, since there's not much more to say there. Achievement in music written for a motion picture, the original score. The nominees are The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, which is by Alexandra Desplat. Defiance by James Newton Howard. Milk by Danny Elfman, Slumdog Millionaire by Your Best Friend Ramen.
Yes!
And Wall-E by Thomas Newman. Let's hear you first.
Slumdog. Hands down.
You haven't even watched the movie or heard the score.
No, I haven't. Oh, here we got Miles linking us to the
Cinematic Gabriel article about Gabriel refuses to sing.
Yep. We'll check it out a little bit later. Maybe we'll even talk about it since Andrew is so enamored with that damn movie. There you go, Slumdog. Hands up, hands down, hands left, hand right. It doesn't matter. Slumdog will win this category. Andrew, are you going to tell me Wally is going to win?
No.
Okay, who's going
to
win?
First of all, I have to say, since you're bringing it up, I love that sound, that score. I have it on my computer. I've listened to it like at least 3 weeks in a row.
You know why you love that score? The only reason you love that score is because Brazil is on it.
Ha ha. Thomas Newman was awesome.
Brazil is on it,
and
Andrew.
He also did the soundtrack for the score for Revolutionary Road, which is also good.
Ooh,
but
cool.
I have to win the score by Danny Elfman for Milk. Like, I'm sorry. Some of those songs were stuck in my head for weeks. I love that movie. I love the score. I love the main theme that was playing throughout the movie. You remember it?
Not really, which is why I kind of...
It's the one that's in the trailer. It's just like, oh my goodness, it's amazing. I mean, Slumdog won everything at the Golden Globes, which is why I'm taking my shot now to say it won't win stuff at the Oscars. I still have it written down for things, but like, oh. And on top of which, I still think Slumdog is highly overrated.
Whatever. Danny Boyle plus Indian music. Shut the fuck up.
Alright, Achievement in Art Direction. There's nominated, we have Changeling, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Dark Knight, The Duchess, and Revolutionary Road. Let's hear you first.
I am going to go, it's a bit of a guess, but I think a bit of an educated one, with Revolutionary Road.
This is art design. Revolutionary Road, you haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, I have not.
You're just going off the trailer?
Off the trailer and the other movies that I have seen. I have seen some of these movies in this category.
Right. Right. As I said earlier, I haven't seen The Duchess yet. I'm sure that's something that might win this, but I think art direction has more to do with style than it has to do with the fact that they're wearing old dresses. Right? And the other night, I sat down and watched Changeling. And this movie is highly underrated. I think it's going to win this award. It's very stylized. Stylized is a hard word to use, because when people say stylized for a movie, they're usually talking about Quentin Tarantino throwing the camera around all over the place, which, you know, I didn't mean, right? This movie, it takes on a certain visual tone.
By the way, just cutting in for a second, does every example of anything you're going to say have to include Quentin Tarantino?
I made my one reference for the episode. I mean, we have Inglourious Basterds later.
Exactly. We've got Inglourious Basterds. You were talking about how, you know, you almost didn't get Inglourious Basterds, the trailer, before we started recording. Now you've got this. No, I'm sure you're going to talk about, you know, even when QT was in a fucking Adam Sandler movie. I don't know. What are you going to talk about?
No, actually, I'm going to talk about how he bitch slapped a cameraman at Sundance last year.
Oh, yes, he did.
Anyways, back to point, right? Changeling, like, not only did it have the dresses, the costume design, which was awesome, it had the setting, which was great. Which is what Milk had as well. And I think I probably would have given it to Milk if they were nominated. And I think they should have been nominated. Especially over The Dark Knight for this award for art direction. Right? But Changeling. I think if you haven't seen it, you need to go out and watch this movie. It is an amazing film. Especially if you're in the minority of the slash film cast who hate Gran Torino and want a reason to like Clint Eastwood again.
Okay, so I guess we need to move on. What's next? My list definitely is not in this order, so I couldn't tell you.
All right, next is Achievement in Cinematography.
Cinematography, let us see. Where is
we
that?
Have Changeling, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Dark Knight, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire. It seems like I'm reading off the same movies every time for some of these smaller awards.
It's because you are.
What do you think?
Oh, boy. Okay, I am in a dilemma.
Again?
Again.
Is it that you still haven't seen enough, or you just don't know which to pick?
A bit of both. I don't know which to pick, and the one that I'm kind of leaning towards, I haven't seen yet. So I have on my pad here, my yellow letter-sized pad, question mark in between two movies. On the left-hand side, we have got the Geek Fest known as The Dark Knight. And on the right side, we have got Slumdog Millionaire. And I am going to, you know, in my head, have a little dice roll and pick Slumdog.
Well, so what did you say was your two choices?
The Dark Knight and Slumdog Millionaire.
I think I need to teach you something.
What do you need to teach me?
I have Slumdog Millionaire to win. The visual style of this movie was amazing. It had, like, I think the greatest part about it was the element that the sun played. Like, there was a lot of lighting throughout the movie where you'd see coming from corners and lighting up scenes and bringing things together. And, I mean, I haven't been to India. I don't know what India looks like. But if India looks like this when I go, if I ever get there, I'll never want to leave. You know?
Yeah.
It just, the like, you could take a screenshot of any moment in that movie and it looked beautiful.
Okay.
So I have to give Slumdog this award. You know, it's wonderful.
All right.
And apparently in the chat room they're discussing about if Kate Winslet is ever not naked.
But it's true. I've had this conversation with you before, Andrew. I told you. What happens is she has an actual clause in her contract. She reads the script and then she says, listen, the only way I'll do this is if I'm naked. And she has a must be naked clause in her contract all the time. Because... How can you explain to me that even in a flipping PG-13 movie, she's naked?
There's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless
One
Mind.
Movie. How many other movies has she been in? Look, Never Fear, I'm Here has actually even given one extremely major example, Little Children. And
I
what
still
about
haven't watched that.
Oh, that
I
was
want
a
to
decent
watch it.
Movie. But what about even the movie that's up for her this year? The Reader.
Oh, boobs galore.
What the hell? And by the way, they're no longer pretty. They
I
are starting to sag.
I didn't mind them. I didn't mind them. They were still good. I enjoyed them. Anyways, back. Let's come back, right?
Okay.
We're on to another award, one that I love very much.
What's
Best
that?
Best Animated Feature Film of the Year.
Oh, shut the fuck. Okay, we already know Wally is winning for that. For you, actually. I don't know about for that. But my choice... Believe it or not.
All right, hold on. Let's go by. We have a protocol here.
All right, sorry.
We have a protocol here. For people who don't know, right? The nominees for Best Animated Feature are Bolt, Kung Fu Panda, and the winner, Wall-E.
And Miles asks whether maybe Waltz with Bashir should have been nominated. What do you think, Andrew?
I think it deserves a nomination just because of the animation, right? More than the movie. But I think it comes down to the Academy Awards horrible rules.
Okay, like, Andrew, I was kind of being sarcastic. I was joking around. I didn't really think that, you know, Waltz with Bashir should be nominated. I was just messing with you.
You just wasted like 30 seconds of my time.
Good.
I hate you.
All right, so back to the nominees. They were what? Bolt, Kung Fu Panda, and Wall-E, right?
Yep.
So you pick what? Was it Bolt? Was it Wall-E? Which one? I'm not sure.
Well, mine starts with a W, and it's from Walt Disney. I think it's Wall-E.
I think so, too. And mine is Bolt. John Travolta at his finest.
And Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus.
Oh, come on, Andrew. Miley Cyrus. Come on. Listen. She is the daughter of the guy that made Achy Breaky Heart popular. Achy Breaky, Andrew. How do you do that?
Moving on, because I don't want to have a reason to kill Douglas today. All right, we're going to get into a couple areas where we're going to be really dark about what we're going to say. Oh, yeah, that's a good choice there. I just realized. Persepolis. Have you seen Persepolis?
I still haven't, but it looks like not... Or I should say this a little bit differently. It looks like it isn't the type of movie that generally the... Academy likes to nominate in this category. They like to nominate children's movies because, you know, that's the type of thing that is usually animated.
Well, it's a movie from last year, so it wouldn't be nominated.
Ah, that too. Okay.
But I think it was an awesome movie and deserves, like, an animation award somewhere. All right. Into some
categories. Oh, it was nominated last year.
Yeah.
Ha! Foot in mouth. Okay.
A couple categories that we don't know much about. Best live action short film. There's, I'm not going to try and pronounce the foreign names. I'm just going to use the English names. There's On the Line.
Paris, Je T'aime.
Sorry, Canada. There's La Luna Projects. Production. Wait, hold on. All right. There's On the Line. There's Manon on the Asphalt. There's New Boy.
Uh-huh.
There's The Pig.
Uh-huh.
And there's Toyland.
Okay.
Right?
What's your pick?
I've only seen New Boy, and okay. It is a good short film.
So is that your pick?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what the others are.
I haven't seen any of them. Now, here is how I'm going to pick. I went through all the names, and whichever one was funniest, I chose. Therefore, my pick is The Pig.
The funniest name, I have to say, the funniest name for me is Manon on the Asphalt.
No, but that's probably like some sort of other language for, or something. It means something. But The Pig, there you go. Awesome.
By the way, if you want to see the short film New Boy, it's posted up on getthebigpicture.com. That's another blog I like to read.
Ah, and look at this. Maz is telling me that he seconds my nomination. Therefore, I win, Andrew. Ha ha.
Okay. All right. Next one. Best documentary short subject. There is The Conscience of...
Wait, hang on. What is that?
Best documentary short subject.
Short documentary. Oh, I found it. Okay.
The Conscience of Nem N, whatever that is. The Final Inch. Smile Pinky. And The Witness. I haven't seen any of these, so I avoid myself.
What? Come on, pick something.
No, I'm not going to go eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Why not? You're going to? Okay, fine. Well, I will tell you that I as well have not seen any of these. However, I used my very scientific method that we just spoke about, and I came up with Smile Pinky.
Oh, I thought you were going to pick The Final Inch.
No. Smile Pinky.
We don't know what these are about. We haven't seen them. Whatever.
Yeah, The Final Inch is a good title, but I like Smile Pinky. I don't know why. It just appeals to me.
Miles says that's what the real voters do. All right. Next category. Best documentary feature. There's The Betrayal. Encounters at the End of the World, The Garden, Man on Wire, and Trouble with Water. The only one I've seen here is Man on Wire, and it's an amazing documentary. I have to give it to Man on Wire.
Okay, I have it on my pad. I just can't find it. Hang on. I know it's not Man on Wire, because I remember thinking, Andrew liked it, therefore it must be shit.
I have to say, my huge complaint is, why isn't Dear Zachary nominated?
Ah, okay.
I need my Dear Zachary.
Whatever, dude. Okay, my pick is Encounters at the End of the World. It's, you know, the most outlandish type of title. I like it.
Crazy. But, like, seriously, Man on Wire was an amazing documentary, and it has to do with the fact... The only reason I like it so much is that I love the character of... Well, I'm totally forgetting his name right now, because...
It wasn't Zachary, was it?
No, it wasn't Zachary. He is such a character. The entire movie is more or less him telling the story, and when they cut to showing you him, he's always like, while he's telling the story, he's jumping behind a curtain and showing you, like, even though they have re-dramatizations, like, he pokes a hole in the curtain for you while he's talking to you, and then he's like getting up on his chair and shouting all out, and it's amazing to watch him just talk. Like, if they didn't have the dramatizations and they just had the camera sitting there
Which
for 90
is this?
Minutes.
Is this Dear Zachary?
This is Man on Wire.
Oh, Man on Wire. Oh, okay. Sorry.
If they had the camera just sitting there watching him for 90 minutes talk, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Right? And yes, I want Dear Zachary nominated. I don't know what rule kept it out or if they didn't submit it or whatever, but damn it. Next one coming up is Best Foreign Language Film of the Year. And I know this is the most weighted prediction from the entire internet, waiting to hear what I have to say. So the nominees are the... Is this like a long A, bad R?
What's that?
Is this like a long A, bad R?
It's probably bad R.
The bad R main off complex. The Mine class. The departures, Revanche, and Waltz with Bashir. I'll let you go first, since I want to, you know,
here's
delay.
The thing, right? I heard somebody, I don't know who, say that Waltz with Bashir was shit. I don't believe them, so I went with Waltz with Bashir.
The only film I've seen out of this lot is Waltz with Bashir, and I didn't like it. I mean, I think I'm going to give it another watch before I review it, but I kept falling asleep in and out throughout the movie, which, twice, it's the second time I've tried to watch a movie, and I kept falling asleep, and I couldn't stop it. I mean, I think it would have been better if they didn't animate it, and they just put on a camera and have a regular documentary style. But whatever, I mean, I haven't seen anything else, I'm just not going to pick anything. I think out of all of these, based out of what I know, I'd like to see The Class. I think The Class looks like an interesting film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a French movie about a teacher and his class and the drama in there. Those are the kind of stuff I like. I also want to watch The Wave, which isn't nominated. It's about, I think it's a German film, about a teacher in a class. However, he uses this social experiment where he makes his classroom a dictatorship.
Oh, I think I saw a trailer for that one, and I thought the same thing. I thought that I'd like to watch that one.
Yeah, so, sorry for everyone. I didn't really like Waltz with Bashir. You guys can all screw yourselves. next, moving on, Best Animated Short Film.
Mm-hmm.
There's, there are no English names here. I'm going to have to try and say these foreign names.
Yes, there's one.
For this one.
Oh, okay.
La Maison en Petites Cubes. And I apologize to anyone...
By the way, that sounds French, so that would probably
I apologize to anyone who's French and listening to this. I'm horrible at doing the foreign languages.
Shit to me.
another one is Lavatory Love Story. There's the... Wait, hold on. I think I've...
You've mixed it up, but there's Octopodi, right?
Okay, see here.
And all Presto.
Right, there's Octopodi, there's Presto, and This Way Up. I've seen three out of this five. I've seen The Lavatory Love Story, I've seen Octopodi, and I've seen Presto. And I have to give it to Presto.
Okay, so I have also seen three, I'm pretty sure. I've seen Presto, and I've seen Octopodi, and I'm pretty sure I saw This Way Up. However, I don't remember, which just goes to show how great it was. So, based on that, I thought about it, and I said to myself, I enjoyed Presto when I watched it. However, I didn't think it was that great. So, again, I used my scientific my scientific approach to this thing, and I said the winner has to be Lavatory, A Love Story. Because how can you not think that a love story set in a bathroom won't win this award? Andrew, your thoughts?
I've seen that one, and it is an amazing short film. I love it. It's a love story in a lavatory. There's nothing else you can really say about it. You can find Octopodi on slashfilm.com. They
yes,
have it up there.
Yes.
It was one of the videos of the day.
It's kind of fun, actually.
It is a fun film. Lavatory Love Story you can find on getthebigpicture.com. I saw it there. I haven't seen the other two, and I don't know where you can find them. Presto you can find on the Wall-E DVD, which you guys should own by now.
No, you should not, because that movie was crap.
Anyways, moving on to, you know, the thick of it, you know, the big awards that we like to talk about that really matter. Starting off with Best Adapted Screenplay.
Okay.
And nominated are The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Doubt, Frost Nixon, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire. Let's hear it, Douglas.
Doubt! I say that Doubt is the one that will win this. I watched the movie, and at the end of it, I was just like, this is great. I love this movie. The script was spectacular, so I'm all for Doubt.
I just finished watching Doubt, and it is a good movie, based off a play, and I like it, but I'm sorry, Slumdog Millionaire takes the cake here.
Jeez, are you serious?
If there's one thing Slumdog got right, it was the story, right? This is a wonderful story. Like, not only does it make you feel good, which is one thing that I find, people tend to really give awards to depressing movies, right? Or revere depressing movies like this Requiem for the Aronofsky movies.
Oh man,
the Aronofsky movies, which everyone raves, which is
don't
which
watch that
awesome
one alone,
movies,
please.
Right? He's talking about Requiem for a Dream, by the way. They're all awesome movies, but
yeah, they are.
Like every once in a while, there's a movie that's just so happy. I mean, that is just amazing, and it's so grand. Slumdog Millionaire has to take it for the story. If I had to give a runner-up, I'd have to give it to The Reader.
The Reader?
The Reader. I heard
where
there was a lot of
doubt,
bad buzz about The Reader on the internet, but
hey,
I love that movie.
I watched the movie and it was great. I didn't mind it at all. However, I would definitely place doubt on top of it.
Well, all right. Anything else you want to add to that?
Not much, just that you're going to lose.
I think what we should do, right, is after this we should like write up like our predictions and put them on the site and see who wins.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, we'll do that.
And maybe we should... you're just glad they wrote in the nude scenes. Yes, I am, never fair. I am glad. However, it does not, you know, make me want to put it above doubt. Maybe that's why Andrew did. Maybe he said, you know, Kate Winslet's breasts are much more interesting than Meryl Streep's acting ability, and that's why I think The Reader is better
than
The Doubt.
One thing I do love about Doubt and Meryl Streep is I love when they introduce her. I love that scene in the beginning when they introduce Meryl Streep.
The dragon scene?
No, not just the dragon scene. Like, they're in the church and Philip Seymour Hoffman is giving his
sermon
at the beginning.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And you just see this nun get up. They don't show you her face. And she, like, walks behind all the children and then slaps the one in the head. And
yeah, that was great.
Amazing. That's fun. And the dragon scene is also great.
Rawr. Okay.
I hate on Meryl Streep sometimes, and Damien hates me for it because he loves Meryl Streep.
No, but Meryl Streep is a proper actress. But what it is that lately she's been in a lot of movies she probably thinks will do well at the box office, and so give her a larger draw. That's probably what she's doing.
I think she should have been nominated better for Mamma Mia.
Ooh.
Okay, moving on to the next award. Original screenplay. Best original screenplay. And the nominees are Frozen River, Happy-Go-Lucky, In Bruges, Milk, and WALL-E. Like, before we get to our winners, right?
Okay.
I'd just like to start by saying I did not pick WALL-E. Right?
Because it doesn't have a script.
However, WALL-E for best screenplay? Like...
Two words.
How much writing went into this movie?
Two words, Andrew!
I love it, but come on. Can we think of a better fifth pick?
A better fifth pick?
Mm-hmm. Even if it's not going to win, a better fifth pick.
John Brooks, Monster Slayer. That would be a better fifth pick. My Name is Bruce. That would be a better fifth pick. what's the name? Amateur Porn Star Killer 3. That would be... Thank you. Zombie Strippers. All of those would be valid picks, better than WALL-E.
All right. I'm not sure if this is an original screenplay, but I'd like to nominate The Visitor.
Oh, yeah.
For original
right.
screenplay.
Okay.
You see, I'm being serious.
No.
I'm the serious dude. I think The Visitor was a good movie. I haven't read the original script, so I don't know how different it is from the movie. I actually wonder, when they go through these movies, like, for scripts, do they read the script or do they watch the movie and just, like, write it down? Like, is it the script that ends up on the screen or the script that's the last paper
version?
No,
it has to be... Well, that's actually an interesting question, but I would assume that... Whether they read it or they watch it, it would be the script as it was in the end result. So that's what I would assume. I don't think, you know, the studios get points for scripts that they didn't actually translate into a movie. Because you know they've got rewrites and
everything. Yeah, every day is a rewrite.
You know, bada bing, bada boom.
Robert Downey Jr. walks to Favreau and says it'd be cool if, like, I put in an extra Robert Downey Jr. style hair for Iron Man, you know? Anyways, all right, back to our winners. What do you have for original screenplay?
Okay, you guys may or may not hate me for this. I am not going to go with, you know, the serious pick. I'm going to say that In Bruges. Actually, no. What are the nominees?
There's Frozen River, Happy-Go-Lucky, In Bruges,
oh,
Milk,
yeah,
and
right,
WALL-E.
Right, right. So, I actually... Yeah, you know what? I'll go with In Bruges. Though I think Happy-Go-Lucky might win it.
Yeah, if there was one thing to nominate In Bruges for, it's the script. I think this is an awesome movie, an awesome story, a great thing, but I didn't give it the award. I have to hand mine.
Bunch
to
of fucking elephants, man.
you're like cramping my style here, man.
I think the thing will weigh a little bit inside of culture.
Like, all right, first of all, I have to say, I don't know. As we started the conversation, I don't know what gets the nomination, whether it's what's on screen or what the last paper was.
They're filming midgets!
Right?
Sorry, okay.
And
shut up now.
Yeah, give me my turn, damn it. I'm going to turn off your mic.
You can't do that. No, 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 no.
Okay, right? Like, I don't know what gets the nomination, whether it's the last... whether it's what ends up on screen or whether it's the last version of the script in paper.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't read any of these scripts, the paper version.
Right.
I'm not like Latino Review. I don't know all these backlogs to get all these scripts, right?
But if you'd like to send us some, we're not averse to taking it.
And I'll send them to Douglas to read because God knows I've already set enough reading projects for myself. I got the Neil Gaiman book today.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay, that means I have to either get that or Lullaby, one of the two.
I'm still only halfway through Lullaby.
I know that. So, either you go on to Neil Gaiman and I'll take Lullaby from you, or I take Neil Gaiman while you finish Lullaby, one of the two.
Well, it's only if, like, as soon as I finish Lullaby, you hand me Neil Gaiman, even if you're not done.
No, can't work. Just joking.
I'll figure out something.
I will figure out something.
Yeah, so my pick is based on what I've seen. So what ends up on screen. So I have to say Happy Go Lucky. And the only reason that prompted this warning was because Neville Fairme just said that Happy Go Lucky was mostly improv.
I see.
But that script, well, the story and the dialogue, everything was awesome about that movie. I remember I had a friend over and we watched that movie, and she was laughing at the beginning with the girls having fun with each other drunk after the club. This is like 5 minutes into the movie, so I'm not spoiling anything.
Oh, okay.
And she was laughing at it so hard just because she's like, it's funny because it's true. That's exactly how the women are. And you know, I always joke about these things and wonder, like, for example, in Death Proof, those scenes with the Zoe Bell, Rosario Dawson, and the other two girls whose names I can't remember, just sitting down at the table talking about all sorts of things, like taking the picture and falling into the pit, and a Roscoe is a gun, and all those things. I always wonder, like, how do you write women well? Like, we've always seen movies where man conversations are written well and fun.
You see, the thing is, Andrew, I'm sure... I know you haven't been around that long, so maybe you don't know this, but there's this thing called, you know, women's rights, and women can work, i.e. write
yes,
scripts.
However, we are talking about...
I think women know what women...
yeah, but first of all,
also,
a woman...
I'm sure men can write women well, some men.
First of all, Mike Lee wrote the script for Happy Go Lucky, so it wasn't a woman. Right?
No, I know.
Second of all, we're dealing with an industry which is very male-oriented.
I don't like to say that. I mean, I guess there are a lot of men in high places, but at the same time, it's the people in the lower places that are behind the scenes a lot in some of these things. For example, I had a friend who did a lot of work while he was in college on all sorts of things. Like, he did work on Scrubs, one of your favorite shows.
Scrubs.
Okay, he did work on this awful movie, Aquila and the Bee. I really shouldn't say it's awful. I haven't watched it, but it looks like it's shit. And he did work on shite. I know they're like two or three different things, but he, you know, he was nobody. He was a little college student, and he was doing work. And apparently, he got invited to one of my favorite writers' houses, Charlie Kaufman.
I want to see Synecdoche.
Yeah, me too.
I want to see that movie so bad.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to send me a screener, you can email me at andrew.robinson@gmailreviews.com. All right. So you say In Bruges, I say Happy Go Lucky. Oh, I really don't know. It was really between Happy Go Lucky, In Bruges, and Milk for this one. I didn't really like Frozen River that much.
Yeah.
All right. Next award. Performances by an actor in a leading role, right? And the nominees are Richard Jenkins for The Visitor, Frank Langella for Frost Nixon, Sean Penn for Milk, Brad Pitt for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. No, I don't know what you're going to say, and I kind of want to say something first, but I'm going to let you go.
No. Go ahead if you want to go.
All right. Officially, my pick to win, like I like the most out of all these, I've seen all these movies, is Sean Penn for Milk. Right? However, I am willing to give up this award to Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler, just so he can have another awesome acceptance speech.
Where he forgets somebody's name?
No, not even that. Have you seen the acceptance speech that he did for the BAFTA award?
No, I did not.
It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah?
He like totally says, he says, and I quote, you know, thanks to Aronofsky for picking me and bringing me back. He thanks to Marissa Tomei for taking off her clothes in front of me. Mm-hmm. It was great to look at her and it was an inspiration. It's amazing. It's one of the most hilarious acceptance speeches I've ever seen. And then on top of the one that came before it from the Golden Globes, where he can't remember people's names and tells Aronofsky to fuck off. And then Aronofsky gives him a finger. I mean, for an acceptance, if all right, so we had the Golden Globes, which is awesome. We had the BAFTAs, which was awesomer. If he just pushes it a little bit more, and I'll give him the Oscar just for that. Even though I think Sean Penn was better.
All right, so I think I agree with you. You like, bastard.
Like, which one?
Both. I was about to say that I think Mickey Rourke might just win, and it would be awesome to see what he has to say. But I really want Sean Penn to win. He's my pick. My official pick is Sean Penn. I hate you.
I believe in Harvey Milk. That movie was amazing. I don't care what anyone has to say. All right, now coming on to what most people think is an automatic win.
Yeah.
The best performance by an actor in a supporting role. Right? There's the nominees are Josh Brolin for Milk, Robert Downey Jr. for Tropic Thunder, because he's a dude who's playing a dude disguised as another dude. Philip Seymour Hoffman as a pedophile priest in Doubt.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger as the Joker in The Dark Knight. And Michael Shannon as a crazy mathematician in Revolutionary Road.
Okay, so right? First, before right, you have anything
right,
to
I'm
say.
I'm just going to say this because I don't know what you have to say, but I'm going with the automatic pickup.
No, I did not want you to say that first. Damn you. Okay, so what I have to say is Heath Ledger can't win this. You know why?
Why?
You never go full retard, Andrew.
What?
You never go full retard. He went too far into the role.
No, and but he didn't
ask
go
Sean
retard.
Penn.
He
Sean
didn't
Penn.
Go retard.
Andrew, ask Sean Penn.
He didn't go retard.
Ask Sean Penn.
But he didn't go
ask
retard.
Ask Sean Penn.
Are you saying
Robert Downey Jr. is going to win this? This is the big upset that I talked about earlier. Robert Downey Jr. is going to win Best Actor.
The one thing I have to say is, will Philip Seymour Hoffman ever leave the supporting role category?
I don't
category?
Think he can. He can't carry a movie. Nobody.
He was awesome in Capote.
Wait. I don't mean he can't carry a movie because he's not skilled. He is skilled. He is one of the best actors out there. I'm saying that
him.
Right now.
Yeah,
I love him to death. I own Capote. I will probably own Doubt. And
I have to give him a huge shout out for MI3.
Yes! Yes! He was my favorite villain out of all of them in Mission Impossible. No. Back to topic. What I was saying was he can't helm a movie because I don't think not enough people know him or want to know him. He's not the star type. He's just a great actor. And it's very hard to, you know, helm a movie or get money behind a movie when you've got a great actor, but not somebody that's probably going to put a million people in the seats. And I don't think Philip Seymour can put a million people in the seats. Anyway,
well,
what I'm really going to say to you is I would love Robert Downey Jr. to win this, but I know down to my toes that Heath Ledger is going to get the posthumous.
You know who's also an awesome pick in this category?
What?
Michael Shannon for Revolutionary Road.
Oh, for Revolutionary Road? He was great, but no, sorry. It's
have you seen Revolutionary Road?
Oh, wait, sorry. Revolutionary Road, Michael Shannon?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I thought you said earlier you hadn't seen it.
Sorry, I thought for some reason in my head it registered as Michael Sheen from Frost Nixon.
Oh, well,
Michael
Shannon was amazing in Revolutionary Road. I mean, I heard a lot of people complain that his role was pretty not required for the movie. It was, it, like, it just pointed out things that were already there that people didn't want to hear out loud, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like for Frost Nixon with the boxing match. You know, the fact that they call it a boxing match annoyed me because we already could tell that, right? But Michael Shannon, he was amazing as an actor in that movie. And as I look on this list, the only person that I would be highly disappointed if won it would be Josh Brolin for Milk.
Yeah, he was good, but he wasn't that good.
Yeah, all the other people are so much better.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, my official pick is going to be Heath Ledger because he probably will win this. But I would love, please, Academy, if you're listening, give Robert Downey Jr. an award. Just this award. Not like I think he could probably
he
win.
Can he get can it for
win
the Soloist next
no,
year.
No, exactly. Whatever. You can get it for the Soloist because that's clearly an Oscar move. But give him this award. I want Robert Downey Jr. to come up as Kurt Lazarus. That would be hilarious.
Well, all right. Here's one that I had trouble picking, and I'm gonna have trouble today. Performance by an actress in a leading role. What do you have? There's Anne Hathaway from Rachel Getting Married. There's Angelina Jolie from Changeling. There's Melissa Leo from Frozen River. Meryl Streep from Doubt. And Kate Winslet from The Reader. Who do you have?
Okay, well, my problem is I love them all.
I love them all except for Melissa Leo. And I'm kind of willing to scratch Meryl Streep off the list because I liked her in the movie, but not that much. Kate Winslet, Angelina Jolie, and Anne Hathaway are the three.
Those are the three. And honestly, Anne Hathaway surprised the shit out of me. I could not believe it.
Angelina Jolie surprised the shit out of me.
I watched that movie, and I was just in it with her. However, Kate Winslet wins. She was better than Anne Hathaway, I believe.
Yeah, she was in a Holocaust movie. She wins, right?
No, she showed her tits.
No, but she said in extras that she's doing the Holocaust movie because that's how the Oscars, you get an Oscar. If you do a Holocaust movie, you win an Oscar.
Yeah, but she's got both, Holocaust movie and she shows her tits. There you go.
But she does it in every movie other than the Holocaust bit. So no,
she keeps doing it because she needs to get an Oscar. And every time, you know, they pass her over, she shows more and more and more. Did you not watch this movie?
No, but I'm going to give my official pick to Angelina Jolie.
Oh, please don't.
I'm
going to
make my surprise pick to Angelina Jolie. I think Anne Hathaway might win it, but Angelina Jolie is
actually
my pick.
I'd be very, I know my official pick is Kate Winslet, but I'd love to see Anne Hathaway get it. I'd love to see her get something for that role.
The only complaint I'll have is if Melissa Leo or Meryl Streep win it.
I don't think I'd complain if Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep has enough Oscars on her shelf.
True, but I wouldn't agree with it, but I would not complain. It's, you know, it's a subjective type of award, so I would be okay with that.
Talk louder, by the way.
I'm trying to.
All right, next award is the best performance by an actress in a supporting role, and we have Amy Adams from Doubt, Penelope Cruz from Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Viola Davis from Doubt, Taraji P. Henson from The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Marissa Tomei from The Wrestler. Right, you go.
Okay, I had to use another very scientific approach here. Not the funny name approach. That approach, it doesn't work with this one because it's much too scientific. The one that I used here was the I don't like them kind of pick.
I thought you were going to use who shows the most tits approach.
Well, but then I'd go to Marissa Tomei automatic, and that's not who I ended up with. So how it worked, right, is I looked at it and I was like, this person must not win. Because I did not like them in this movie.
All right, who did
and
you
so
not like?
I have to see the pics.
All right, there's Marissa Tomei, Wrestler.
Okay, no, wait. Starting from the beginning, we've got Amy Adams. I don't know yet, maybe. Penelope Cruz, no.
You didn't like Penelope Cruz at all?
No, not that I didn't like her. I did, but she's not. Her thing was not Oscar-worthy.
I like her.
Viola Davis, that's the mother in Doubt. No. Taraji Henson in Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Another mother.
Another one. No. Marissa Tomei, I took off because I haven't seen the movie.
Stripper.
So, Amy Adams wins it for me.
Wow. Yep. I went for the same movie but a different nominee. I went for Viola Davis.
Oh, come on.
She only has one scene in this
movie.
For
like 2 seconds.
It was more like 2 minutes.
Ooh,
but
2 minutes.
But my goodness, it was my favorite scene of the movie. Like, Viola Davis brought it up. And I'm so happy they gave her a supporting nod because I would... like, if I had watched this movie like 3 months ago before the nominations came out and I sat down, I would have been like, you know, she should get it, but I doubt they'll give it to her since it's such a limited role. She's amazing just for that one scene.
By the way, quick... Oh, sorry, am I cutting you?
Go ahead.
Oh, it's completely off topic. I was just going to say that on the forums here, we've got a proposal. Marissa Tomei versus Kate Winslet for Naked Body Supremacy. Andrew, who is your pick?
All right, the question... What are my rules? Is it amount of nudity or quality of nudity?
Well, a bit of both. You could have amount of nudity, quality of nudity, how much you like watching that that person nude. You know, all of those things kind of wrapped up all together with the whole manly type of, yes, there's nudity in this movie. So which one? Is it Marissa or is it Kate?
Kate wins for amount. Marissa wins for quality.
Okay.
And because I always believe in quality over quantity, Marissa told me for the win.
Okay, well, I have to say, I love Marissa. Ever since I saw my cousin Vinny, I was like, whoa, she's hot. Kate, however, she's much more classy. She's got more class.
Class. No, so I definitely love those nude scenes in the reader, but come on.
Kate Winslet is this. You see, it's just that you haven't seen her in her prime. The reader was kind of saggy, you know,
I have seen her in her prime.
But you've got some other ones.
Anyways,
so Kate Winslet it is.
Let's come back, right?
Okay, back
I don't think I can really continue from what I was saying, but generally, if you got my gist, Viola Davis has to win this award, right? I don't think anyone else is worthy of it, really.
What? Really? You don't even think Amy Adams was worthy of the nomination? I thought Amy Adams did extremely well in that movie, considering, because I never saw her as a really great actress. But in this movie, I kind of say, ooh, she's growing. She's doing something.
Like, the only other one that people are going to want me to talk about is Marissa Tomei. And it has to do something with the wrestler. Like, I watched it, and even though the acting was good, I didn't believe it that much. From Mickey Rourke as well as Marissa Tomei. And that's the thing. Like, for example, I watched... Sorry, I just had a moment.
He had a moment. I wonder what happened there.
I watched, what was it? Rachel Getting Married. And watching that movie, I didn't think it was a movie for me to see. I think it was someone's private wedding video, which is, I believed every second of that movie. That movie, the acting in that was perfect. I loved it, right? But for The Wrestler, it was like, I didn't believe it at all, which I guess is a good thing if they were going for the whole wrestling thing.
Because that's all fake anyway.
And I kind of wondered to myself, watching that movie, right? Because when I was younger, I did watch wrestling for a short period of time, right?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, watching this movie, how do they pack stadiums for people to watch this, right? I've never been to a wrestling match. I've only watched it on TV. So how do you really pack people into that? Because for the movie...
What do you mean? For the movie itself or just generally
generally for wrestling.
Because people love it. It's three or four men fighting each other, kicking the shit out of each other. And every now and again, they throw in ladies that may or may not go topless by the end of the show.
I want to know how many of those fans, I mean, the ones who are over the age of 12, right? Actually admit to themselves that it's fake.
Some do, some don't, but it's more the entertainment factor that brings people. Like for example, my good friend Owen, who you've met.
Yeah?
He is huge, or was huge a long time ago, into this thing. And he knew it was fake. He was like, yeah, I know it's fake, but I love it anyway. And that's what I think happens. Some people actually do think it's real, but the people that don't, they're just like, it's entertaining. It's like 24. It's entertaining. Okay?
It's like movies. It's entertaining. Anyways, right? So yeah, my pick is Viola Davis. You have Amy Adams.
I have Amy Adams.
Moving on. Last two awards, achievement in directing. We have David Fincher for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Ron Howard for Frost Nixon, Gus Van Sant for Milk, Stephen Dalger for The Reader, and Danny Boyle for Slumdog. Yeah, I'm going to let you go first.
Ah, here we go, director. Again, I have another question mark. On the one side, we have Ron Howard, who has been trying for ages
I still say he should have gotten it for
Beautiful Mind.
Not Beautiful Mind. Which the one? Other one which I love, the biopic.
Apollo 13?
No, the other one with Russell Crowe.
A Beautiful Mind. Cinderella Man.
Cinderella Man. I love that movie.
Yeah. You really should say the other person, not the guy that was in both movies. I'm like, yes, you're talking about A Beautiful Mind, Andrew. Anyway, so I have on one side Ron Howard for his clear Oscar bait movie, and on the other side Danny Boyle, who I love to death.
All right, so which one do you think will win and want to win?
Who I want to win, definitely Danny Boyle.
Just because you love him?
Because I love him. I don't think there's a movie that I've seen by him that I didn't like.
Sunshine?
There was one.
I'm
getting to it. Sunshine was the only movie that, though I didn't not like it, I thought it was only average, maybe a little bit above average. Everything else I love. I love Millions. I think it's great. Love to death. I own this movie 28 days later.
Because I bought it for you.
I know, but I would have bought it anyway. And I love and now own, almost, it's on its way, Trainspotting.
Oh yeah, you told me that's on its way. I have to rewatch that movie because I thought it was only okay when I first saw it years ago.
No, that movie is amazing.
I thought it looked brilliant, but like, I kind of couldn't get into it for some reason or another. But I'll watch it again. I'll give it a fresh chance.
Okay.
My choice for winner has
I haven't picked my winner yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you just said Slumdog.
No, I said I want him to win. I didn't say who will win.
All right, who will win?
Damn it. Now I have to pick. I don't know who to pick.
So do you want me to take this and we can come back to you?
No, I'll just go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and I'll pick. No, okay. Seriously, who I think is going to win? I think Danny Boyle is going to win. I believe so.
You know,
however, Ron Howard is a close second, and if he wins, I won't get upset.
You know who I think has a good chance, even though he's not my pick?
Who?
David Fincher.
Yeah.
That movie was
I didn't
so
like
specific.
The movie.
No, yeah. But you see, that's the thing, right? We're talking about specific things in the movie.
Yeah.
Right? And if there was one thing that you had to say was awesome about that movie, it was the attention to detail and the direction.
The attention to detail was great.
Oh!
The seven jokes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, but the direction, I guess it was good. Okay, all right, fine. I won't be upset if he wins for director. Jeez, you had to pull that one out of me, didn't you? Didn't you?
Yes, I did. I have to say, I'll be very upset if Ron Howard wins.
Really?
Really.
Because,
I mean, I think I was on the same note as you where the Frost Nixon movie was really good to me. But when I spoke with Damien about it a couple episodes ago, we talked about it. I think it was the last episode when we went into Best Picture stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he explained to me his thoughts on it and why Ron Howard shouldn't win the directing award. Basically because it was really just the interview scenes which are that good.
Yeah.
While everything else kind of fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got convinced.
No, he's right, you know. But I think that the main parts that he screwed up in was the parts when, you know, he took the camera off and he was like, no, this is a documentary. Which I can understand. So I wouldn't put it past the Academy for giving this man the award.
Okay.
You know?
Alright, but my pick is your favorite boy.
Danny Boyle.
Gus Van Sant for me.
Hey, I do like Gus Van Sant. I love him. Have you watched that movie yet?
I haven't watched Jerry yet.
I love it.
I've been doing the Oscars watching stuff this week. I mean, after today, I'm going to be watching like the David Spalter movie Around.
Hey, no. Listen, we're having a screener night. The first official screener that came to G-Man Reviews is Around by David Spalter, and we, including Damien, if he wants to come, are going to sit down and watch that movie all together. The G-Man Reviews crew. We have to.
Yeah, I'll probably like pick a week to review it on the podcast to give it a little promotion.
Yeah.
Since he was so nice as to mail it to me.
Exactly. I mean, it's amazing. It's like a little... It's hilarious. I look at it. It's a yellow CD sleeve. It's clearly a burnt DVD. It's wonderful.
What I think is the funniest part about it, when you look on it and you look on the packaging and you look at the mail postage,
yeah,
it cost David Spalter $1 to send to me. But because I sent it to the mail pack account and brought it down, it cost me $6 to get it.
Nice.
Because I have to pay the freight.
So we paid $6 for a free DVD.
isn't shipping wonderful?
Because I didn't want to give him the international address.
Oh, yeah, no, because that would suck, because he'd have to spend a lot of money. So, yeah so it's anyways, better we spend, cool. Whatever.
All right, but anyways, as I said, Gus Van Sant is my pick. The look for this movie was just beyond me. And what I loved even more was, I'm not 100% sure about this. I'm sure bits of it were stock footage. But there's some points where I was wondering whether it was stock footage or he pulled out an old camera and filmed what he had already made.
Oh, yeah.
So that it would look dirtier and look older and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's stock footage. But even that was such a great move to blend the stock footage with the real stuff. And what was even fun... I love this one scene with...
No spoilers.
No spoilers, no spoilers. With one of my favorite supporting actors from last year.
P.S. he dies. I spoiled it. Oh,
you're
no.
You're talking about... I don't think that's a spoiler.
I know, I'm just joking. I mean, it was a joke. Go on. Yeah. What you say?
James Franco. One scene with James Franco where he's sitting down there and Sean Penn is taking pictures. And the film cuts between showing him move around taking the picture and showing you the picture he takes as he takes it. And the music playing behind it and everything. The direction in this film is wonderful. I love it. It's a DVD I'm going to buy as soon as it comes out.
Oh, yeah. This is a really good movie. I enjoyed it. I mean, even though Damien clearly did not, he does not represent
well,
the
he's
views.
Not here right now.
Exactly.
So we can claim that he loves this movie. where there's nothing to refute it. Damien loves milk.
Therefore, 3 out of 3 from the G-Man Reviews crew.
Well, you gave it to Danny Boyle, so...
Oh, no. I was just saying that I like the movie.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, the big award. The final award, you know, Best Motion Picture of the Year. And the nominees are, drumroll please. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire. So basically, anyone who was nominated for the Director Award got a Best Picture Award.
Yeah.
And you know what? What do you say, Douglas?
Okay, here's the thing, right? I, again, have a problem. I've got a slash, and I've got a question mark.
You're conflicted.
I am
conflicted. You're a conflicted child.
I'm conflicted between the same two bloody movies we were just talking about. I have on the one side... Oh, wait, no, not the same two. We were talking about it, but not the same two that I had. So on the one side, I have Milk for Best Picture, and on the other side, I have Slumdog Millionaire. So, do I trust in my hopes and dreams and wishes and previous knowledge of Danny Boyle? Or do I trust in what I've already seen in Milk? And what I know from previous Gus Van Sant movies. Love his movies. So, what should I do? Dun, 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 dun. Don't know. But I think the person that who will win this movie, whether he does or does not deserve it, is Danny Boyle. I think Slumdog Millionaire will win this award. However, Milk would be awesome to win.
I keep saying Slumdog Millionaire is so overrated. I don't know if it's because of the certain websites and podcasts I listen to and the reviews I read, but I mean, when I saw it, I was like, okay. That was nice. I mean, as you see on my top 10 from last year, it got only 9th place, which... People went crazy, and when a couple of my friends saw it, they were like, Andrew, you're crazy. And they were happy because if I hadn't had it on my top 10 list, they wouldn't have ever seen it. And I think that's one thing to talk about. Like, do you ever like go through people's top 10 lists and be like, how the hell did that get there? I have to go and watch that now.
Yes, I do. All the time. Trust me. I mean, I remember, what was it, 2 years ago? When Once was on Film School Rejects list, and I was like, I know that movie, maybe I should watch it. And I kept saying that in the back
until
of my head.
I watched
No. Yes, it was until you watched it, but it wasn't because you watched it. I always said, I want to watch it. And then I ended up watching it. So, yes, I always go through, especially people that I respect, people whose choices that I usually like.
Neil Miller of Film School Rejects.
Hey, I don't know if the dude likes my kind of movies, but he liked Once, I like Once. That's one for one.
I have to say, Neil Miller has a really... he has a good taste in movies, based on his reviews and the sites and his podcast. I like them, and, you know, it's cool.
Sounds like somebody's trying to, you know,
I'm trying to
get him on the site or what? What
get
are you
him
trying
on the
to
podcast
do there?
Maybe,
anyway, if you're listening, Andrew wants you to come on the podcast. So come on.
I think who I want first though is Alex Billington.
Ooh.
I want to get the Billington on the podcast.
Yes,
day.
The man with the better looking website.
Yeah, we go.
The man who everybody hates.
No, only Devin Faraci.
Well,
and if you know what I'm talking about, yes, that video was hilarious. All right, my pick goes to Gus Van Sant's Milk. If you go to my top 10 from last year, I had Milk at number 4, and everything above that was snubbed by the Oscars or wasn't eligible for Best Picture. I think the only one above it eligible for Best Picture was The Dark Knight.
But it was snubbed.
It was snubbed. And honestly, I think like if The Dark Knight was here instead of, let me see, what would I kick out? The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I'd kick out The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yes, I would.
if The Dark Knight was there instead of that, I still would have picked Milk. I think Milk is a better all-around movie compared to The Dark Knight. Like, it's worn off on me. I've watched it possibly like 10 times by now. And I mean, scenes are still awesome. Heath Ledger is still awesome. Aaron Eckhart is still awesome. But I kind of have gotten to the point where I realize it's not the perfect movie. I wish I could revise my review. But, you know, it's something that I'm going to have to just live with and understand that it's a spur of the moment kind of thing. I hope.
Hey, you hope.
Right, so I'm going to give it to Milk. I do not fear David Chen of the Slash Filmcast.
Wait, what? What's this about?
They're all talking about how I'm completely writing off Slumdog, and on top of which the Waltz Will Be Sheer comments.
Oh yes, aren't you dead to David Chen right
I'm
now?
I'm dead to David Chen right now. I tried to talk to him on IM a couple of nights ago. I think it was because I kind of came off quick, but he didn't reply, so I was like, I kind of felt like he really felt bad or something. But whatever.
How funny! You're serious? I thought he was just fucking around.
I thought he was fucking around. But you know.
You're dead to David Chen,
I'm
Andrew.
Dead to David Chen. But you know, I still love the Slash film cast.
You know what, maybe we can bring him on here and have some sort of arbitration, something to maybe, you know.
All right, you know what I'm going to try and do? I'm going to find out when the Waltz Will Be Sheer DVD will be released.
Yes.
And that week, I'm going to try and invite him on for that review.
Yes. It will be like hard talk. You over here saying it's crap, him over there saying it's great, and we'll come to some sort of consensus.
And well, hopefully, by that time, I'd have figured out all the Skype audio problems.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay. Or maybe you just realize that the problem is Windows.
Okay, so that is our Oscar predictions. And I'd just like to let you know, Douglas, we've gone an hour and a half of recording.
I know, I have
felt
it.
Without even hitting the news. So, like, whatever you saw on my list of news, I'm like halving that.
Oh, come on, let's just keep talking.
Right, so let's go.
So what news is important? I don't think anything to do with Quentin Tarantino is important. So
that's in there.
All right.
Number one, with all the Oscars conversation and the Dark Knight conversation, everyone's
curveball.
But guess what, guys? Just like with the Batman Begins sequel, it's not coming for at least 3 to 4 years. If at
assuming
all. If at all, because he hasn't agreed to a Batman
yeah, but
3.
Listen. He doesn't have to be the one to do it. Do you forget? Remember what happened with the first Batman series.
And
Tim Burton came and he made a wonderful first movie. He made a pretty decent second movie. And then the studio had a meeting with him and said, listen, you really don't want to do the third one, do you? And they gave it to, I don't know who the hell they gave it to, but Val Kilmer was in it. Jim Carrey was in it. And it wasn't that bad, but it was kind of crappy.
It was a guy who did the number 23.
That was a bad
What's
movie.
His name? Schumacher. Schumacher. Did
oh, wait. The number... Schumacher directed 23?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And coincidentally, it was his 23rd film.
Crap.
Schumacher did the other two Batman movies, and then no one wants to see Batman for half a decade.
Yeah, I know. Schumacher did the last one. I didn't realize he did Batman Forever.
Right. So, yeah. But I say Nolan has been doing so well, I can't wait to see another. But if he decides that he's done with it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, because what are you going to say? Oh, you didn't do a third one.
Any movie he does, I'm going to want to watch. Like this new one, which he's announced and he's going to start working on to be released in the summer of 2010, is a sci-fi film that he's written the screenplay for, is Inception. We don't know anything about it, really, other than he wrote a screenplay, he'll direct it, and it's a sci-fi movie. But that's enough for me to buy my ticket now.
Inception. It sounds like there's something to do with pregnancy.
Though really and truly, that should be conception. So what is Inception? Inception is the creation of an idea, is that it? So
I don't speak English.
Since it's Inception, it's creation, that's what it means. So I don't know. Like you say, Chris Nolan is directing, therefore it will be great. So we have to watch it. I don't think there has been a bad Chris Nolan movie. Oh, wait, no, sorry. There has been one. One. Insomnia.
Well, I think we kind of need to rewatch that one.
Maybe want to rewatch it. But I remember I loved Memento. And I said, ooh, the Memento director is directing this movie. Must watch.
I didn't even know his name at that point.
I may not have known his name, but I've seen Memento, and that buzz alone caught me.
Because back then I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, right. But I didn't like it at all. Well, so, I mean, remember who was the lead role? Who was the lead actor?
Pacino! Hoo-ah!
Okay, he was awful.
Yeah, he's definitely a bad indicator nowadays. Anyway.
Well, you're right. Maybe we should rewatch it. Maybe I'll write an article about it.
Alright, the next thing I want to talk about is a rumor. I generally don't allow rumors on the podcast, but this one sounds a little sweet for me. The Superman reboot that happened.
Oh, the Wachowski brothers thing?
Let me announce the news item.
Hey,
man.
I'm assuming that since everybody is listening to this podcast, it's probably, film buffs / film fans, and they follow, pretty much the same sites that we follow. They've seen the article already. If I've seen the article already, they've all seen the article already.
Yeah, but maybe we'll branch out one day. Someone will accidentally click on it. On top of which, I know a couple of my friends listen to it who don't read film blogs.
Okay, so let's rewind and you get to have your mysterious introduction. Go ahead.
Thank you. Should I just start over?
Go ahead, start over. But I'm making sure that you cannot edit this out, so I'm just going to keep talking so that, whatever my last thing that I say trail ends into your introduction, and so you can't pretend you didn't do it. No, you're not. No, you're not. We learned that from episode what, 5, 4, 3 something like that.
The best episode of the Unnamed Movie Podcast,
the one where we actually got Quentin Tarantino and Lucy Liu to come on.
No, let's not say that. I mean, I might get some legal emails for that one. That's not true. Anyways, the news item is that there was a Superman reboot a couple years ago, right, with Bryan Singer directing, and they want to do a sequel to it. However, Bryan Singer has been more or less left out of the loop. He's not sure whether he's being hired to do it or not. And it's rumored now that the Wachowski brothers are going to pick up Superman. And we don't know whether it's going to be a reboot or it's going to just be the sequel to that Superman that we already saw rebooted. So, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts on the movie already itself, Superman Begins. Superman Returns.
Batman Returns is actually a movie.
Yes,
crap.
It is. So I actually liked the movie. I thought the direction was great. I thought the movie was wonderful. I even liked Brandon Routh, And
I just feel sorry for the man.
Yeah, he got in the wrong movie. However, it looks like the studio loved him, so he's still going to be there. And I would love for not only a sequel to Batman. Jesus Christ, you've got me in this Batman. So
I was saying, the DC movie.
Yeah, I would love to see both a sequel to Superman Returns and a sequel directed by Bryan Singer. So that is my take on it. I don't have much faith anymore in the Wachowski brothers. They gave me Matrix 2. They gave me Matrix 3. And then they gave me, I'll admit it was a fair movie, but it wasn't that good. They gave me Speed Racer. Okay? So out of the 4 movies they've ever made, they've only made 1 good movie. I don't think I want to watch Superman directed by the Wachowski brothers.
All right, here's the thing, right? The Wachowski brothers have only touched on anime as far as I'm concerned, right? As much as you want to call it, The Matrix is as good as an anime, right? The entire trilogy, it's an anime. The Matrix 1 is the best. I still like Matrix 2 and 3 for their own specific reasons, but I can see why they're not as good as the others, right? And I loved Speed Racer this year, right?
That's because you have a man crush. And let's just be clear, a man crush is a crush on a man. For the Wachowski brothers.
No. First of all, if it's for the Wachowski brothers, I don't think you'd call a man crush.
That's true. Maybe it would be a men crush.
But I thought you'd call Emil Hirsch, though.
Well, you also have a man crush on Emil Hirsch. I wasn't even going to go there. You notice I left him out of the milk conversation completely?
I loved him as Cleve.
Yeah, I actually liked him in the movie. I did.
But yeah, and like Superman isn't really that much of an anime style because, I mean, it's an American story. It's very straightforward. Superman has all the muscles and you can't beat him no matter what.
You know what, though? I don't care whether it's an American story or whatever. You can always bring two genres together and do it well. And if it is done well, then sure, it's going to be great. A new take on Superman would be wonderful. However, I just am not convinced that Bryan Singer's take was bad. I loved it.
No, I'm with you. I love Superman Returns. I hate everyone who says it's crap. You know, they don't know what they're missing. You know, it reminded me so much of the original Superman movie.
By Richard Donner, those?
Was he the director?
Yes, Richard Donner was the director of Superman 1 and 2 and half of Superman 3 before he got kicked off.
And with Gene Hackman as...
Yeah, Gene Hackman was Lex Luthor.
Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor. And
wait,
that was the best part.
Hang on. I saw an article around just the other day where they were saying who was it was going to be Lex Luthor, not...
I can't remember anything about Lex Luthor.
It wasn't going to be the guy that we love.
Kevin
Why can't
Spacey.
I remember his name? Kevin Spacey. It was going to be somebody else. Some weird name. Whatever. But I was very upset on that day when I saw that article.
Yeah, so what I have to say is I'm interested, but not fully interested. I think I just want Bryan Singer to do part two.
Yes, that would be great.
I want them to just trust him. Just trust him. And let
Come
him
on,
do
this
part
is
two.
The guy that did The Usual Suspects.
Because it's not his fault that the movie didn't do as well as you wanted to. It's the studio's fault, really. And we've spoken about this with Damien and the money trouble and the accounting of that movie.
Honestly, I'm not even sure because... What Damien says sounds plausible, but I've never heard that side of the story said that way.
No, it's definitely true. I think Kevin Smith even confirmed it.
Okay, well, if that is the case, then boo to fucking Warner Brothers or whoever it was that released that.
Yeah, it's a DC. It's Warner Brothers.
I thought it was Warner Brothers, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it's Warner Brothers. Yeah.
I was right. Yay.
All right, so, yeah. I think if the Wachowskis do it, I'd still watch it, but bring back Bryan Singer, please.
You're right.
Another piece of news here.
No, let's not even talk about it.
You don't want to talk about
no.
it?
No.
All right, I'll just
Who
say
Who cares
it.
About Michael Moore?
I'll just say it, and we won't even comment then, all right? Since
okay.
we're trying to keep time. Michael Moore is apparent. It's rumored that his next documentary is going to be about the bailout.
Okay, Michael Moore, you cut movies very deviously. Very well done.
I really brought this up for Damien so you could make an AIG joke at me.
Oh, okay, because man, you lost its... sponsorship?
Something like that. Yeah. All right, moving on.
Yes, this was interesting.
Yeah, Josh Brolin and Anthony Hopkins are apparently going to be in the next Woody Allen movie.
I thought he had retired, Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, right.
He hasn't done a movie in so long, has
the
he?
The last one I kind of remember him in...
Was The Fastest Indian, wasn't it?
No.
No, which one
Or
was
at
it?
Least was that after the one I'm thinking of? Was the one with Sean Penn that was shitty.
The Sean Penn? Which one is this?
All the King's Men.
Oh, I forgot he was in that. No, that was after The Fastest Indian, I think. That was recent. Fastest Indian was like 4 years ago, I think.
These are two actors who I love. I mean, Josh Brolin, he's been amazing. Anthony Hopkins, I mean, yeah. Hannibal Lecter, that's all you have to say.
But come on, Andrew, how can you not watch a movie with somebody that was in The Goonies? You have to watch a movie.
I still haven't watched The Goonies.
It's
Wonderful.
It's on my to-watch list.
Corey Feldman at his finest, okay?
Right? And it's a Woody Allen movie. I'm kind of getting into the Woody Allen vibe. I mean, his most recent movies hasn't been... people say aren't as good as his older ones.
Yeah, and I agree with that one. However, I still like his new movies.
And it's good. So I'm going to say this is a good piece of news.
Though, funnily enough, I did not like Match Point that much. I don't know why people think it's so great.
Match Point. I
That's
don't know
the
that
one where Scarlett Johansson is in it. And she's like this tennis player. No, this actress. And this guy is going to get married to this rich girl. And all sorts of crap happens. So it's just, I don't know. I didn't really like it that much.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it. The only ones that Scarlett I've seen is half of Scoop.
Yeah.
Which I want to watch the rest of it. I mean, I know it's not good, but it still seems kind of
Yeah, that
cool.
one was okay. Match Point was okay
and
as
And I think
well,
it also has to do with my... Man crush. Yes, I'm about to announce it. On Ian... What's his name?
Who are you talking about?
The guy from Death Race.
Home? Is it
McShane?
Ian? Oh, McShane.
Ian McShane.
Oh, okay.
That voice just gets to me. You know, I mean... Like, oh, cool.
So you're into older men then?
His voice is the epitome of cool.
I
as
see.
As far as I care. Yeah. So... Like... And also Vicky Cristina, I thought was a really good movie.
Yeah, that was very good. I liked that one.
Yeah, so let's move on. The next piece of news I want to talk about is the Guardians of Ga'Hoole, the new movie that Zack Snyder wants to do. They added the actors Jim Sturgess and Jeffrey Rush to the project.
Very good. Please point out Jim Sturgess to me.
Jim Sturgess? he's
top right, bottom left. Okay, here we go. All right. I don't know him. However, I do know Jeffrey Rush.
He's the
and
guy
Jeffrey
from
Rush
21.
Is amazing.
He's the guy from 21.
Oh, he's not that good.
That movie that you haven't watched, which I like, Across the Universe.
Oh, he's that guy?
He's the lead in it.
I want to watch that movie. I need to steal a DVD.
I love the one that Mommy thinks is
yes,
a vampire.
Yes, it's a vampire.
It was during the Super Bowl. All of us were watching the Super Bowl while Mommy was in my room. Or just watching some television, and she couldn't find anything on TV, so she called me into the room and asked me to put on something for her. And I'm like shifting through my DVDs because I can't give her anything graphic or anything too crazy. So I'm like Across the Universe. I don't know if she's seen this, but it's a good movie. I love it. All Beatles music. And I show her the cover, and she says to me she doesn't want to watch it because it looks like it's a vampire movie.
Yes. I think that is... A vampire movie. Vampire Beatles.
Yeah, so that's just hilarious. But yeah, I don't know what this book is about. All it is a children's book, apparently. I'm kind of behind Zack Snyder right now because I love 300. I love the Watchmen book, and the movie looks like it's going to be awesome.
I love how you're behind Zack Snyder for a movie that hasn't come out yet.
Yep, I'm behind him, right? And based on some of the reviews I'm hearing from it, the early reviews, it sounds like it's page for page, excepting for the one thing we know.
Yeah, the
which
end
I won't
has changed
say,
or something.
Which I won't say because, you know, in case anyone who hasn't
you
read the
bastards,
book or...
You said it to me. We should be able to say it to everybody else. I'm so upset that I know now what happens.
Well,
or what doesn't happen, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, right? So, I mean, this looks interesting. I've always liked Jeffrey Rush. He's a great actor.
Yeah, he is.
And Jim Sturgess, I like. I like him a little bit. You know, he's not...
You know what? You know what was Jeffrey Rush's finest moment, I think, was probably his role in Intolerable Cruelty. I think that was his best role. His finest
Anytime
role.
Anytime you get in a Coen
and
Brothers
he
movie,
should have been nominated.
But then again, what's his name? John Travolta's finest role is Pulp Fiction.
True, but John Travolta wasn't good enough to get into a Coen Brothers movie. So there's that.
Oh, you're crazy about it. Is this the last? Yeah, this is the last piece of news I want to talk about.
Who cares about that, though, really?
Right? I mean, it's just something that you kind of have to explain for people who don't read past the headline.
Okay.
Right? Disney has agreed to distribute DreamWorks films for an extended time. I don't think the time has been specified. But, all right, for anyone who thinks to themselves, you know, the it's going to be hell and high water now because Disney is now controlling DreamWorks.
It's just a distribution deal. They take the movies and send them around.
Yeah, but Disney gets to choose, kind of. You know, they can. Whenever you have a distribution deal, you can be like, that one looks like it'll make money, that one won't, kind of stuff. And they can distribute it or not. And for those that they don't decide, they have to go outside to try and distribute.
Okay.
But for everyone who's going hell and high water over this, because you won't read the article, right?
Mm-hmm.
This deal is only for live action films. It's not for animation. So for all those, for like last year when DreamWorks seemed to be catching up,
yeah,
to Disney,
yeah,
to Disney, has to be the fact that in animation with,
yeah,
I'm just confused as to what's going on with Douglas. All right, for those of you who are confused as to what's going on with this deal, Disney is only distributing live action. And because DreamWorks was doing so amazing last year with animation when it came to Kung Fu Panda, and I'm talking about DreamWorks. DreamWorks did Kung Fu Panda, which was amazing. I mean, I still think WALL-E is better, but Kung Fu Panda is still an amazing film. And I think they also did Madagascar 2, which everyone loved. I still haven't watched it. So it's only live action films. It'll be good for everybody. They get more distribution. You know. Last year, DreamWorks did Tropic Thunder.
Awesome. Let's move on.
More movies like that, yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to go into trailers now. Right?
Woohoo!
The first trailer tonight is my favorite trailer.
God damn it.
It is the trailer for Quentin Tarantino's newest film, Inglourious Basterds.
10 hot! Eyes forward!
My name is Lieutenant Aldo Rain, and I need me 8 soldiers. We're gonna be dropped into France dressed as civilians. We're gonna be doing one thing, and one thing only. Killing Nazis.
Yes, sir!
Members of the National Socialist Party have conquered Europe through murder, torture, intimidation, and terror. And that's exactly what we're gonna do to them. We will be cruel to the German, and through our cruelty, they will know who we are. They will find the evidence of our cruelty in the disemboweled, dismembered, and disfigured bodies of their brothers we leave behind us. And the German will not be able to help themselves from imagining the cruelty their brothers endured at our hands, and our boot heels, and the edge of our knives. And the German will be sickened by us. The German will talk about us, and the German will fear us. Nazi ain't got no humanity. They need to be destroyed. Each and every man under my command owes me 100 Nazi scalps, and I want my scalps.
Nein, 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 nein.
Sound good?
Yes, sir.
Everybody owes me 100 scalps. That was a horrible impression.
Yes, it was. And you fought over it with me. You're like, no, you always take the comeback. I want to take the comeback. And then you come with that foolishness. Come on. What is up with that? So what did you think about the trailer, Andrew?
Awesome. This movie is going to be great. I mean, first of all, if you at any point thought Quentin Tarantino was going to do a Schindler's List for World War II, you're an idiot. This movie is going to be plain exploitation of the Nazi story. And can I tell you, I love that one shot at the end of the trailer where they show Hitler.
Yes, I love it because it reminds me of the same thing that happened to me in Bryan Singer's movie. It reminded me of, you know, the Silent Wolf forums where he said they got banned. You guys should check that YouTube video, by the way, if you can find it. It's just, you know, guys dubbing over this movie about Hitler where he gets banned from a forum, or, you know, something bad happens to him in all of them. There are various different versions with different subtitles. However, I have to say that in my opinion, I liked the trailer a little bit. I didn't like the way they were very clear in the fact that it's not going to be a serious movie. I didn't like that part where it said, you haven't seen war until you've seen it through the eyes of Quentin Tarantino. That was just a little bit over the top for me. And another thing I didn't really like,
I have a big respect for Brad Pitt. I think he's coming into his own recently, and he's becoming a really good actor. However, in that monologue that was in the trailer, I didn't think he pulled it off as well as he could have. I didn't think he was strong enough. He was... I can't even describe it. I just did not think the way he said it fit the words. Like, I think he should have been a little bit more aggressive. And, yeah, I think that's about it. So, that's it. The trailer was okay, and I didn't like those 2 points.
I loved Brad Pitt in that trailer. I thought it was just pure fun. I mean, at moments you can kind of hear Brad Pitt behind it, like you said.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Like, just hearing him like that. And can I say also the one shot of Eli Roth with the bat? I think that's him.
Yeah, that's
the bat swinging.
Is he
about
the one with the bat? I can't remember. I wasn't even looking at the trailer when you were playing it a while ago. I'm catching up on Twitter, my friend.
Oh, this movie is going to be great. Yeah, so basically, like, what do you say about this trailer in the end?
About the trailer, yeah. It gets its point across. And it really is unnecessary, because the people who are going to watch this movie are watching this movie whether this trailer comes out or not.
Damn you. It's awesome, and everyone should go and watch this movie. And if you haven't, go and watch every Quentin Tarantino movie ever made. Anyways, we're going to move on to our second trailer, which is Ron Howard's newest film, the sequel to his worst film, possibly, which is, what's the name of it? The Da Vinci Code? this is
yes.
Angels and Demons.
Hundreds of thousands are gathered in St. Peter's Square for conclave.
It is on this night, in Vatican City, that an ancient ritual is taking place.
The new pope is yet to be selected, as we see the black smoke coming from the chimney of the Sistine Chapel.
The entire world is watching and waiting. Which is why this is the perfect moment for our revenge. It's Illuminati.
I would like to let everybody know that Andrew just made a big screw up again. Not only did he play a trailer for what looks to be another bad movie, but he played the wrong trailer for what looks to be another bad movie. He did not play the proper trailer. He played the teaser. So I guess that's a TV spot. And he is currently, you know, looking through YouTube to see if he can somehow pirate the actual Angels and Demons trailer. I have to say, however, that both books, Da Vinci Code and Angels of and Demons, Da Vinci Code more so, were amazing. Angels and Demons was a good book, but not, you know, in the upper echelon of awesomeness as was the Da Vinci Code. And I was so upset to watch the Da Vinci Code movie. It was not good at all. I did not like it. And I'm pretty much expecting the same thing out of this movie. But I think Andrew has set up the proper trailer, so hopefully we can talk about it afterwards.
This is the correct trailer for the week, so I'm going to edit out all of that.
No, don't edit it out. Come on, I had a nice little spiel in there about how crappy your technical skills were. So maybe we should use it. Anyway,
right, so here's
enjoy.
The proper trailer for Angels and Demons.
Again, given us the incorrect trailer. And so we're just going to chalk this one up to Andrew being completely incompetent. And we're not even going to play the proper trailer. We're just going to talk about these two, which were, by the way, awful. However, the only good thing about the second trailer was the fact that it used a song from Requiem for a Dream. And that is an awesome movie. But, you know, temper that by the fact that you should never, ever, ever, ever watch that alone in the dark, ever.
It's just way too depressing.
You need a friend. I watched that movie 3 times and every time was with someone different.
I know,
I think if I try to watch that movie alone, you'll never find me again.
Trust me. I watched alone once in the dark when I had like plans had fallen through for a party. So I was already a little bit upset. And let's say I may not have been here if things had gone a bit differently.
All right. The prequel to this was... What's it called?
Da Vinci Code.
And that movie was hard. Can we agree?
Yes, we can.
All right, we can agree that movie's hard.
Disgustingly
so. Can any trailer convince you to go to the sequel?
No.
All right. Did this trailer even try?
No.
I agree. Let's move on.
Okay.
All right. Now, here is one which I know I have the correct trailer for. So, no
you
making
You better fun. Have the correct trailer for this one.
The final trailer for the night. We were going to do this one last week, but due to time constraints, we cut it out. The Education of Charlie Banks, directed by Fred Durst.
Yo, there's a kid I was telling you about, McLeary.
Every kid grows up with a boogeyman under his bed. Mine terrorized Greenwich Village and smoked Newports.
Charlie Banks never knew what his life was supposed to be.
Oh, thanks. These were a gift.
I remember being a freshman. It was the 2 best years of my life.
Until he saw
Yo.
What he didn't want to become.
Nick, Leary.
Yo,
Charlie Banks.
Yeah, I remember you. I came in for my econ exam and he was sitting in the lobby waiting.
Charlie!
What? All right, no big deal. We just help him avoid conflict before he leaves.
Whoa, what the? Okay. Forget it, Buzzy Tim.
The deal with Nick is you know, he can be a really great guy, you know? But he's just got this thing.
Strong Heart Pictures presents a cautionary tale about friendship.
I look at all this that you have, and I think maybe I could be a part of it.
Love.
Are you looking for owls, Charlie?
No, I'm trying not to stare at your breasts.
And betrayal.
Lewis Kennett, 28, was beaten to death April 25th. That's the day before Mick showed up here. You knew about this, didn't you? You lied to me.
Whoever ratted them out better not show their face below 14th Street again.
Their asses.
Jesse Eisenberg, Jason Ritter, Christopher Marquette, Eva Amuri, Sebastian Stan, in a film by Fred Durst.
I have a head full of the best ideas, but if you can't make the right moves in the world, they're worthless. You are, but you want to dare me to find out for myself.
The Education of Charlie Banks.
You made a message for you, Charlie!
Shut up!
My first question is, does letting everybody know that Fred Durst, the lead singer of the once popular band, shit, I've forgotten their name. It's all about the Nookie. What the hell? Limp Bizkit. I used to like them. Okay, in a former life, but I've like, you know, become smarter as I've aged, more mature. So, does that really help the movie? Because does anybody really like Fred Durst anymore?
I think it does, because honestly, if you're like us and you're past the age where you knew Limp Bizkit, you know who Fred Durst is, and you're into movies now. And you watch a good amount of movies. That movie looks like it more or less is an average kind of film. But just seeing Fred Durst's name attached makes me interested just to be like, he's directing now.
Well, he directed music videos for like Korn and them. I remember that from when he was famous.
I always say directing a music video, nowhere near directing a film. Music video takes 3 days worth of shooting, a film 3 months. And a whole lot more planning, a whole lot more money involved. It's more of a strain.
That's true. But also another thing, I have to say, I really like the lead. Jesse Eisenberg, I think that's what his name was. I have seen him in a few more movies. Don't ask me what those movies are. I can't remember. However, I realize that whenever I watch him in a movie, I kind of like him. He's also in another movie that I want to watch with Twilight Girl, the amusement park movie. And that looks really good. I can't remember the name of it right now. So please don't, you know...
kill me because I can't remember movie names. I just have an awful memory.
Amusement park. Shit.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
The one with...
With Twilight Girl.
Not just Twilight Girl.
Is John C. Reilly in it as well? No.
Not John C. Reilly. It's...
Who are you talking about?
Bill Hader.
Oh, yes. Bill Hader is a boss, isn't he? Yes. That's... Yeah. I really want to watch that movie. However, back to the topic.
Education
I like him.
Of Charlie Banks.
The trailer doesn't do it for me. I actually think it's going
to
be awful.
The trailer is pretty average, but I have to say, just seeing Fred Durst's name makes me slightly interested to the point where I'd go to the movie.
I would go to the movie, but here's the difference between you and me. Seeing Fred Durst's name does not make me want to go to this movie. It makes me want to go to this movie to make fun of Fred Durst.
Well, it's so kind of both ways. It's if it's interesting, if it becomes
no,
a good
there's
movie.
No if. It's going to be shit, and I'm going to make fun of him. Move on.
Well, you know, we don't have to worry about this because it won't come out here.
Yeah.
All right. That's it, really. All we have left now is our review of Push.
There are some people in this world with extraordinary gifts. We don't ask to be special. We're just born that way. Some of us can move objects with our minds.
You're a second generation mover.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Others can make their thoughts your own.
Get the hell out of my head!
Some can see the future.
You're a watcher.
Right now, our future isn't that great.
But there's a secret organization within our government called Division, trained to track us down and turn us into weapons.
All right.
Blah.
Like, as the trailer suggests, it's a movie about like superheroes, kind of like they have superpowers. Some people can move shit with their mind, some can put thoughts into your mind, or so on and so forth. Some can predict the future. Like, it stars Chris Evans, that dude who's in all those movies that
Jimmy Torch,
African actor, and Dakota Fanning.
Oh, wait. That dude you were talking about was Jimon Hussan, that's who you're talking about?
Yeah, I can't remember. As usual, I don't want to butcher the guy's name. What did you think of the movie?
What I thought of the movie was that it supplied me with exactly what I wanted. There was action, there was entertainment, and I was, you know, content. It didn't have much solid acting from... Come on, you've got a lead actor in Chris Evans who, I'm sorry, solid acting is not his middle name. You've got Dakota Fanning, who is generally known for her great acting, and she did well in this movie, I must say. Other than that, I mean, there wasn't much surprise. It was a superhero movie about people who aren't superheroes, who were, you know, running around trying to figure out some sort of puzzle. Well, I shouldn't say it that way, but they were trying to figure out something, and in the end, you know, they figured it out. So, I liked it. Would I watch it again? Yes. Would I buy the DVD? Probably not. But you never know. What about you, Andrew?
I am kind of on the fence with this movie. Like, alright, I'm just going to read off, and I quote my what I wrote on G-Man Reviews earlier this week, right, with... Usually I write a coming out this week thing at the beginning of every week because that's when we find out when movies are coming out because our theater sucks, right? And I always write my expectations. And I'm going to quote my expectations from this week's post for Push. Here is a film that I actually think is going to be bad, but at the same time, it will be fun. So I'm going to recommend it as a movie to watch this week if you can only see... one, but just go knowing to leave your brain at home, right? And I did exactly that. I left my brain at home. But at the same time, people compare it to Jumper. I thought Jumper was better, right? And I don't mean in the reason of a whole film. Like, Jumper was more fun, especially when it got to the action moments. This movie, if it wasn't for that one action scene at the end where he finally, like, does the punch thing,
I have to say that I agree with you in the respect that Jumper is a better movie. Every time I'm on Amazon and I see a cheap DVD for Jumper, I almost hit buy.
because I love it to death. If it's on TV, I'm watching the whole movie. I'm sorry. And I know it's a bad movie. It's not like, you know, a proper film, but give me Jumper any day and I'll watch it twice, three times.
You can't get enough Sam Jackson.
Can't get enough Sam Jackson. Can't get enough Hayden Christensen either.
but like, I thought Dakota Fanning did very well in this movie, acting-wise.
Yes, agreement
like,
there.
Like, it makes me want to get up and watch that movie I don't want to watch, The Secret Life of Bees.
No. Stop it. Stop!
Like, it makes me interested, and everything else in this movie didn't work that well. I mean, they tried to show me all of these superhero moments, which they made sense, but I think it suffers from there being a TV show which does the same thing but better because they vary a lot more, and that's Heroes.
I thought you didn't like Heroes.
I don't like season 3 of Heroes. Season 1 and 2 were good. Season 3 is shit. And season 4, it's only 2 episodes in, but I'm almost ready to give up again. Right? But the thing Heroes did was it gave you a huge varying amount of powers. So whenever you meet a new character, it becomes interesting. So it's not like you've met Chris Evans, so you know what a mover is, and once you meet another mover, you can't be bothered to go through all this introduction again. You just know he's a mover. Right? Just like pushers. You met one person who's a pusher, and once you meet the second pusher, you don't bother to introduce it because he's a pusher. You understand? And I guess it kind of has to do with the fact that instead of having a 13-episode arc that Heroes has, you only have 90 minutes to do everything you're going to do in this movie.
Right.
But I just felt there wasn't enough variation to keep it interesting.
Screw you. It was a fun movie to watch. You've got pushers, you've got stitches,
And can I tell you, the screamers are the most annoying pieces of shit.
No,
ever.
Those guys are awesome. And you scream, and then you die. Awesome.
And in the trailer, you see the dude, this Chinese dude, just going, and then everything's blowing up all around him.
And that's
so
all
stupid.
It was. It was not stupid. It was amazing. I love it, love it, love it.
I don't think this movie was that good. It was average at best. Definitely nothing I want to watch again ever. So yeah, I mean, I don't recommend this movie.
I recommend it. Recommended.
Like, not even if you're gonna leave your brain at home. Like, lame. Go and pick up Jumper at your DVD rental shop.
No, Jumper is better, but this movie is a fun movie to watch. It's got the action, it's got, you know, the entertainment. A thumbs up from me. Don't watch it a second time, but watch it the first time.
Okay, is there anything else we want to talk about? Because that's really it.
What has happened in movie news lately that we want to talk about? I don't know. I guess we're done. I don't really have anything else to say. Other than the fact that Inglourious Basterds is not as good as you think it is. Oh, I think I angered the man.
Which man?
You. I heard you sigh. That heavy, heavy sigh.
I just leave you alone because I realize you're just lashing out because I like Quentin Tarantino. You're just lashing out. You're just trying to irritate me.
Is it working?
No, I'm no longer affected by this.
Right. So yeah, I guess we're done.
We're done. Okay. So this is Andrew.
And this is Douglas.
And this is the Unnamable Podcast. If you wish to contact us, you can get us at unnamed@gmanreviews.com. You can find all the episodes on gmanreviews.com. We broadcast every Saturday night, 8 p.m. on Ustream.
Well, we pretend to broadcast at 8 p.m.
When we
Saturday.
Can start off right. You know, we had extenuating circumstances today. Damien wasn't here. My computer went crazy. So we had to, like, set up in a whole different room and took time and everything, and, you know, whatever. But generally, we broadcast live 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday nights. And, yeah, you can follow me on my Twitter, twitter.com/gmanreviews.
And my Twitter name is DJRLostHisName, so you can follow me there as well.
Should we plug Vibes this week?
No, Miles might get upset because Vibes doesn't really exist. Sorry about that, by the way.
All right, so that's it. That's the Unnamable Podcast, episode 7. And tune in next week when we'll be discussing Spike Lee's filmography.
With Spike Lee himself?
No, not with Spike Lee himself. Stop it, Douglas, before we get sued.
By whom?
By Spike Lee. You've met him and you know how he is. And I'm sure we'll be reviewing Friday the 13th.
Yes, I hope so.
I hope it comes out next week.
Oh, yeah. Wait, we might be reviewing I'm Not That Into You. We're watching that on Sunday, aren't we?
Not for the podcast. I mean, maybe if you want, you can talk about it, but...
Oh, okay.
Like, not the feature review.
Bastard.
All right, so yeah, that's it. Thanks for joining us and listening, and make sure to send us any feedback.
Good night.
Good night.